Lord of the universe, Lord of all, Av Rachamim, Father of mercies, Father of compassion. We thank you. Praise you, Lord, for remembering your sacrifice, your korban, and thank you, Lord, for your mercies. Hashem Yeshua, we thank you now. Open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word, we pray. Gal enai v'avita niflaot metoratecha. Speak to us by your spirit. Change us. Transform us. Thank you, Roy, for closing this. Appreciate that. Hashem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. Would you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29? Quickly, I want to give a few announcements. Also about high holidays. What's tomorrow night? Rosh Hashanah. We're celebrating Rosh Hashanah. We'll be right here this year for the first time. We're just going to do the services here and see, take it year by year. And who knows, maybe by next year we'll have our own temple. We'll be able to, you know, our own facility. That would be, couldn't even figure out how to, if we're on Wi-Fi here. That's just, you know, there's a lot of advantages if we did have our own facility. But the children wanted to play something and they don't have Wi-Fi over there to be able to play it. So keep that in prayer. You know, we are 501c3. If you'd like to donate a first Messianic Jewish temple, we'll put your name on it somewhere. Not in the, we'll acknowledge you, you know. have a wing or whatever. I won't play that Larry David Anonymous video anymore until next. But anyway, but Rosh Hashanah tomorrow night, it'll be, what time is the service here? Six o'clock. So it's the opening, the evening, the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. And then, and I'll be speaking on a shorter message, a short message, because we have a beautiful, we're bringing in special music, Crystal Buchholter, and an ensemble, right? It's going to be very special literature. She's a professional chazan, a cantor, so it's going to be very special. I'll be speaking on the Akedah, the sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham, like what took place there, that'll be short, but it will be lots of beautiful music and liturgy, very different than we've ever done it before. So tomorrow night, 6 p.m., we don't charge for the services, but you can always make a donation, seriously, because we're, you know, paying for, of course, special music and everything. But we want you to come, whatever the case. And then next Shabbat, who's guest speaking here? Papa Don, Dr. Don Finto, Papa Don, as many affectionately know him, so he'll be speaking next Shabbat right here, doing the main message, and looking forward to having him with us. What a great man of God, a shepherd of shepherds, and of many of much of the city. Speaking of God of the city, he understands God's heart for this city more than anyone I know who is here, and has such a heart for the Jewish people and Messianic Jews and revival and what God's doing carries that revelation in his kishkas, in his insides, and he really does. So he's excited to be with us. There will be a meeting, right, David, about Israel? Was that mentioned?
Yes, they know? Very important.
Okay.
So anyone going on the Israel trip, or if you're representing someone going, we have very, very crucial pre-departure information 5 minutes after the service.
Okay, 5 minutes after the service. And we had a nice time at Whole Foods upstairs last week. It was a long time in happening, and some had already left. So we probably will, we'll we'll do it again, but it'll be like about an hour after service. No hurry. We'll be, you know, still like to schmooze around, be with people together after the service, you know, and there's things to do and others. But if you want a Q&A time, it'll be upstairs at Whole Foods about an hour after the Shabbat service. We had a great time last week with those that were there. All right. So, Parashat Nitzavim. Let's say Nitzavim. Oh, did I mention the other high holidays? Yeah, thanks, Meredith. We're good. That's good. Nitzavim means standing, and it's always read on the Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah. As the Yamim Noraim approach, that's the days of awe, Hayamim, that's what's up there, Hayamim HaNoraim, the days of awe, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, as they approach, many Messianic rabbis believe that Yeshua will return in this month of Tishri that's about to begin. Yom Hadin is at hand. Let's say Yom HaDin. That's the day of judgment. Yom HaDin, the day of judgment. So we should be ready when the shofar sounds. So excited, Larry McCoy is going to sound our shofar over here. Larry and Faith, Larry's going to sound the shofar on Rosh Hashanah tomorrow. No one sounds it, no one can blast it like he can. That knows that it's just excellent. And we should be ready when the shofar sounds, because the Lord is judging the earth, it's believed, at this time, bringing things into accountability, inscribing decisions in the heavenly scrolls, and one day soon the great shofar will sound, and then the Lord will return. Amen? And the Sefer HaChaim, the Book of Life, will be sealed. It will be an ominous and a foreboding event. Henny Youngman, anyone know Henny Youngman? King of one-liners, he said, God sneezed. What could I say to him? I have to think about that for a minute. I just wanted a chance to use that line. all right, Deuteronomy 29:9. You are standing, here it is, you are standing today, all of you, before Adonai your God, the heads of your tribes, the elders, your elders, your officials, all the men of Israel, your children, your wives, 10 groups are mentioned, 10 different categories, your wives, the outsider within your camp, from your wood chopper to your wood carrier, each of you is to cross over into the covenant of Adonai your God that he is cutting with you today and into his oath. So here he says, this is the picture again, Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Adonai Elohechem. You're standing, all of you, before, it's a picture in formal array before a public legal ceremony. 10 types of people listed here, from the greatest to the smallest. And then in verses 13 and 14, he says, not with you alone am I cutting this covenant. It's not just with you. It's not just with you, but with whomever is standing here today before the Lord your God, and with whomever is not here with us today. So, you know, I thought of that. Who else is the Lord going to be sending to Kol Dodi this coming year? Have you thought about that? Who is he sending? He sent you here. He sent us here. And who else is he going to be sending in this year and then in the coming years if the Lord doesn't return before, whenever, if he waits? And so God has so much for us to expect and to look forward. And how many new births will take place? Whether physically, praise the Lord for physical births, right? And spiritual births. I just got to see my grandchildren in Fort Lauderdale for just a couple short trip, but oh my, 6 month, Zara and Ziva, and wow, it's really special, really special. So whether the births are physical or spiritual, new births are gonna be happening. Amen, as we pray, new births will be happening in both ways. Psalm 82 verse 1 says, God, now listen to this, Psalm 82:1, this is interesting, I never learned this, but I dissected the verse. God, Elohim, let's say Elohim, takes his stand in the congregation of God, and the word El is used there, El, let's say El, also God, Elohim is God also, good plural word, it can also be gods, depending on the context. He judges among the gods, says the TLV, in the midst, but I would translate, you could also translate it, I would say, in the midst of God, Elohim, it's Elohim there, all right? So he judges in the midst of God. I thought, wow, you know, God's name used 3 times here, so here is God the Father and God the Son in the judgment, God the Father and God the Son, perhaps, sort of like Psalm 110, and we won't get into that, but you're standing, he says, before our God in 29:9, of Deuteronomy, you are standing, and before your God are both in the plural in the Hebrew. Do we really believe that we will one day soon stand before God? Do you really believe that? Do we really believe it? Will we be alone, or will we be standing collectively? I think both personally, but also publicly. a lot of verses I could mention that I think indicate that, and I'll mention some in a minute. And when this happens, what will God say to me? What will I say to God? What will you say to God? And what will he say to you? Matthew 25 describes, Yeshua describes the Son of Man. He comes, when he comes in his glory, speaking of himself, of course, Ben Adam, the Son of Man, one of his titles, messianic titles, and all the angels with him, it says that all the nations will be gathered before him. And it says that he'll separate them as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And then it says the king, he said, the king will say, come, blessed. I'm taking bits, but come. And he says, blessed are you who are blessed. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. It's been prepared for you. Inherit it. We're going to reign with the Messiah. We have an inheritance. And then on to another group, to the group on his right, he says that, but the group on his left, he says, go away from me. Go away from me. Cursed ones, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil, not prepared for you, but prepared for the devil and his angels. And unfortunately, by rejecting the Lord, you're left with the destiny that was not never intended for humanity, but was intended for the angelics, angel, the devil, the Hasatan, and the angels who fell, who rebelled in heaven. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 are passages that are thought to mean that. Of course, there's a few others, but not a lot. But Revelation 20, verse 12 is another picture. And talks there about, by the way, Matthew 25, everlasting punishment and everlasting life. Everlasting punishment on the right, to the left, to everlasting, I'm sorry, to the right, everlasting life to the left, everlasting punishment. Revelation 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing. Here it is, standing again. It's of him, standing before the throne. The books were opened, and another book was opened, the book of life, Sefer HaChaim, the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what was written in the books, according to their deeds. Romans 14, 10 and 12, it mentions the Bema. The Bema is mentioned. Let's say Bema. Bema is, there's some pictures I put for you. A Bema is, in the synagogue, the platform from which the Torah and the prophets are read. This is in the New Covenant. Paul mentions the Bema judgment, the judgment seat of the Messiah, the Bema, and the judgment seat of God several times, a bunch of times. So it's the platform, but just to get a picture how beautiful, of course, in many synagogues the Bema is. Again, if we had our own building, we could really make it nice. So, but, you know, yeah, it's just beautiful. And it's, again, where the Word of God comes forth. So what will be the scene in heaven when this judgment occurs, judgment or judgments? It says that, for we shall all stand before, there it is, stand again, before the judgment seat, the Bema of God. So then each one of us will give account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10, the Bema is also mentioned. So whether at home or absent, Paul says, we make it our aim to be pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat, the Bema of Messiah, so that each one may receive what is due for the things he did while in the body, whether good or bad. Now, good is not just good. Good, it means, biblically, what originates in God. Remember when Yeshua said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. We're not going to be, it's not a matter of God weighing our good deeds against our bad. It's a matter of what did originate in God? What did God do? Did I allow God to do through me versus what originated apart from God in me, apart from God in my own strength, in my own part living away from God? And that's what the bad is. Jeremiah 17:5, curses is the man who trusts in man, whose arm is the arm of the flesh. His heart departs from away, goes away from the Lord. He'll be like a shrub in the desert, doesn't see the good one. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. This is Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8. He'll be like the tree planted by the water. That's going to be the issue, really. Yeshua said, Mark 10:18. Only God is good. What does it originate in God, with or apart from God in me. Now Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, having been righteous, made righteous by trusting, we have shalom with God through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Aren't you glad for that? That's what we have as believers, as followers of him. We've been made righteous, we've trusted, we have shalom, wholeness with God through Yeshua. Through him, we also have gained access by faith into this grace. Charis, sofcha in the Greek. Charis in Hebrew would be chen. Chen would be the equivalent. We're standing, he says, in this chen or charis. We're standing in it and we boast in the hope of God's glory. There is the standing again. We are standing today in God's grace as believers. And this word means, in both Hebrew and Greek, these words I just gave you really mean favor that's bestowed. And the favor that's bestowed is due to not our deeds, but Yeshua and his deeds. He's standing. We're standing in him, really. We're in him. 1 John 4, 17 and 18 mentions Yom HaDin, the day of judgment. In this way, love is made perfect among us so that we should have boldness, confidence, on the day of judgment, Yom HaDin. For just as he is, so also will we be? I'm asking it as a question. We will be like him. But you know what? That's true. But that's not what it says here. Here it says, we are. As he is, so are we in this world, right now. There's no fear in love. In other words, in our, some would call it our position in Messiah. Being in him now, as God sees us in Messiah, we're in him. And in him, we have confidence just as he is, because there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Now, there's seven upcoming events. The Bema Judgment, I'm going to categorize them as seven. The Bema Judgment, a heavenly wedding banquet, the return of Yeshua in judgment, the first resurrection, Yeshua's millennial or thousand-year reign over the earth, the great white throne judgment, a new heavens and a new earth with a new Jerusalem. And I know how I learned the sequence, but I don't know how it'll really turn out. I just know they're all going to happen because the Word of God describes them. But I don't think anyone knows for sure exactly. So there is a distinction, as I learned it, between the judgment of the Messiah when we will stand before the Lord as judged as believers versus the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20, which is for those that don't know the Lord. But you have a story like Yeshua told in Matthew 25, and they seem to be merged together. Bottom line is, we better be ready. We're going to stand before the Lord, and we want to be sure that we're in him, that we belong to him, and that we're ready. Now, Deuteronomy 30, look over there. Now, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse that I have set before you. He says, when, and I love this, when, not if. The word is key. Let's say key. It's right up there, key. Translated when, but the meaning, its preposition can have many meanings. It means for, it could be translation, could be for, because, could be that, since, indeed, and certainly. No believer will experience only blessing and no curse. Did you know that? When, God says, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse that I've set before you, and take them to heart in all the nations where the Lord God has banished you, and you return. And he goes to the sequence. What's going to happen to our people? What did happen and is still happening? But I think it's fascinating. God says, when these things happen to you, the blessing and the curse. I only know two people that never have had a trial or difficulty in their life as believers. Yeah, I am kidding. Oh, man. Okay, only one that got. It's going to happen. We're going to blow it. We're going to make mistakes. We're all flawed. And God knows that every one of us are going to have good and bad times. We're going to have difficulties. If we're following the Lord, he will bring us through it. And this is what's so beautiful. Israel is the pattern for this. But God says, when all these things come upon you, not if, the blessing and the curse. Isaiah 46:10, God declares the end from the beginning. He sees the whole story. Believe it or not, he even sees the United States election results this November. Believe it or not, God, oh, now I sound like someone, believe it. He keeps going, believe me. Better not. The kids, I'll let Josiah do impersonations of both candidates. Can you do that, Josiah, sometime soon? No, I'm just joking. Okay. I heard he did Joel Chernoff, and who else did you do? Greg Silverman. Singing, though. Thing to the sing. All right. But listen, God knows. You know, I love that saying. It sounds kind of quaint, but history is his story. I like that. I believe that. I mean, God is the sovereign one. Providence. God is in control of everything. Doesn't mean we don't have a part in it. We have an important part, and we're responsible. But ultimately, his will prevail. And sometimes the things that happen are chastening and discipline and, you know, and punishment, and sometimes they are rewards, you know. But things happen. But listen to this. When this happened, listen to these verses. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My children, I'm writing these things to you so that you will not sin. He says, I don't want you to sin. I don't want you to sin. I'm writing these things. Then he says, and then it translates, but if anyone sins, we have an intercessor or an advocate with the Father, Messiah Yeshua, the righteous one, the tzaddik. He's the atonement for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the whole world. Okay, so God says, I don't want you to sin. But the Greek says this, not but, it says and. Kai in the Greek. Kai. And if anyone sins. In other words, it's going to happen. And so God has made a provision for that, an advocate for us. Messiah Yeshua, the righteous. Listen to this. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. From Adonai, a man's steps are made firm. The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. And he delights in his way. And then it translates, though he stumble. But again, let's say the word key again. Key. It's saying, for he will stumble. Indeed he will stumble. Certainly he will stumble. And if he stumbles, he'll not fall headlong. He'll not utterly fall down, King James. For the Lord is holding his hand. The Lord is holding his hand. Isn't that great to know? So God says, I'm ordering your steps, and you're going to fall in the midst of that at times. But I'm not letting go of your hand when you fall. I'm upholding. I'm not letting go. Proverbs 24:16, a verse I love this one. Here's that word key again. You ready? For, let's say key. For, says the righteous one. And then it says in the Hebrew, in the translation, may fall seven times, he rises up again. But the Hebrew says, righteous man falls seven times, rises up again. All right? That's what the Hebrew says. It says, for, indeed, certainly, the righteous one doesn't say may. May is not in the Hebrew text. I checked. He falls seven times and rises up again. Gets right back up again. Doesn't stay down. Gets back up again. Isn't that great? I mean, it's not great that you fall, but God's saying it's going to happen. There's going to be stone, and you get back up again. You receive the cleansing of the blood of Yeshua, 1 John 1, 9, 1, 8, and 9. You know, receive his cleansing and receive his forgiveness and get back up and move forward again. Romans 8, 28, now we know that some things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, not our purpose. Did I misquote that? Thank you. We know that what? All things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. You know, Romans 11, 29, the gifts and the calling of God are what? Irrevocable. God doesn't take it back and change his mind. That's why I believe, well, I won't get into that. But Romans 5, 20 and 21 says, where sin increased, grace overflowed even more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Messiah Yeshua our Lord. Sin increased, grace even more increased. That doesn't mean sin so that grace may abound. Paul answers that, by the way, that conclusion some could might have taken. He said, shall we sin that grace may? He says, and he doesn't say it won't abound, by the way, in Romans 6. He doesn't say it won't, which is the way some believers teach it, say, yeah, because it won't abound. No, he says, how can we? It's a different reasoning. How can I do that to the one who loves me and gave himself for me? How would I want to? And there will be chastening. Why do I want to, do I want chastening? Do I want, you know, it says, of course not. And you could even, you know, I believe chastening for the believer, it could even mean all sorts of problems, even premature death for the believer is taught in 1 Corinthians and, you know, a few verses that God takes people home if he knows they're just not going to, they're his, but they refuse to turn, they refuse to come back, and eventually God says, I'm going to take you home early, and you'll lose, you won't have the rewards that you could have at the Bema. You could, but you won't have them because of choosing sin, choosing to live apart from the Lord for, you know, but God only knows every situation and how, when, you know, how much grace time he'll give to, for us to turn. So Romans, the last one I'll give you on this, Romans 11:30, we read it in the readings earlier, in the responsive readings, 11:30 through 33, just as you, he's talking to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, just as you of the nations once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their, that's Israel's, the Jewish people's disobedience, in like manner these Jewish people also have been now disobedient, with the result that because of the mercy shown to you, of the nations, they, Israel, may also receive mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience so that he might show mercy to all. Oh, the depth. And Paul is just, he's just overwhelmed. He's just ecstatic. And he's, oh, the revelations pouring like, you know, waves over. He's, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How incomprehensible are his ways. God's ways are so much higher than ours. And his thoughts than ours. And Isaiah 55 says, I can't fathom God's mercy and how he's going to, has a plan to bring people to know him. He knows well that we're sometimes stupid and we need chastening, and it's going to happen. Hebrews 12 verses 5 and 11. You know, Adam and Eve. I could list many people. Noah and what happened with Adam and Eve and, you know, Chava, Adam and Chava, Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob. How about Jacob with his deceiving and his lies? And even Moses and his sister Miriam. Even Moses. Rahab. Samson or Shimshon. Boy, God choosing these people. Elijah. I can't understand. How would God choose? And Elijah, how about him with, I mean, doubting God and complaining and Esther, you know, thinking we could go into all these. Saul and David, Solomon, Jonah, Miriam, the mother of Yeshua, Peter, who denies the Lord and then lies about it. How about Paul in Romans 7? I haven't taught in Romans 7 in so long because I focus, but you know, I used to teach on it every so often, and you know, I don't know what's going on there. There's different ways to interpret, but he describes the inner battle raging in him between conflicting desires of flesh and spirit. And he is totally at wit's end. He's saying, who will deliver me finally from the body of this death? Because I want the things I want to do, I end up not being able to do the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. And he says, oh my gosh, what am I going to do about this? And he comes out for this battle saying, but there's no condemnation in the Messiah. He doesn't condemn me. He hasn't given up on me. Romans 8:1. I'm in him. He says, Paul says of himself, Messiah Yeshua came into the world to save sinners. And guess what he said of himself? Yeah. Chief. It sounds like Native American expression. I'm chief of sinners. It says that it's the King James. Chief, you're right, Melissa. It's the way I memorized it too. Chief of sin. But it's, yeah, it means I'm the foremost. I am as bad as they come. And that's what he thought of himself. He says, I'm the worst. And he meant it. He says, I have done it worse than you. You think you're bad, I'm worse. Ephesians 3:8, this favor was given to me, the very least. I'm the least of the Kiddushim, the least of the saints, less than the least of all the holy ones, God's holy ones, less than the least, and yet God's favor on me. And I love 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10 when he talks about it. He says, for I'm the least of the apostles, the emissaries, the shlichim. I'm the least of them, unworthy to be called one. But by the grace of God, by the chen, let's say chen. Chen, by the chen, let's say charis. Is the grace, the gift bestowed, the favor bestowed, the grace of God. I am what I am, and you're not going to intimidate me. Enemy, you're not going to adversary. Whoa, don't rejoice against me. Micah the prophet says, though I fall, I'll get back up again. He says in Micah chapter 7, I think it's verse 7, verse 6, he says, listen, I am what I am. God has called me, and I'm not going to let him discourage me and knock me out of the race, running that race. And so we see in Deuteronomy 30, he says to listen and love. He says, return to the Lord and you listen to his voice in verse 2. And then he says, listen with all your heart, with all your soul, you're returning to me and listening to my voice with all, and he'll bring you back. He'll bring you back. And the word shuv, let's say shuv. Listen, he says he wants all of me. No lukewarmness. God doesn't want half-heartedness. Revelation 3:15, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold or hot. Oh, that you are either cold or hot. I want you to be cold or hot. Be who you be. Real. Be realistic about this. Don't just play the religious game. You know, Joshua and Caleb, he said, they're filled with following me. They were following me fully. There's different ways of translating. But then he says, you will return. You'll return. The word shuv means to return, to move backward, to go back to where you were. Move backward, return, shuv. Again, say shuv with me. Shuv. Right in the middle there, beautiful. You return, and it's actually, this word shuv is used seven different ways in verses 1 through 10. Seven different times in different forms. And he says, you return, and God will return. You return, I return, and God will return to me. The rabbinic doctrine of teshuvah, which we know during this time of year especially, later developed to replace, this is helpful to know, to replace the priestly idea, not Catholic priestly idea, but the Jewish priestly idea, the kohanim, of kapara. Kapara is, anyone know? Atonement. Yeah, blood atonement. Absolutely, blood atonement, right. So that doctrine of teshuva, while there's a lot of truth in it, and it's great, and the idea of returning and asking, seeking forgiveness, it developed to replace the idea with the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the temple. For us as believers, it doesn't replace atonement, kapara. It doesn't replace it. But it accompanies it, and it's based upon it. That's a big difference. As Messianic Jews and non-Jews, it doesn't replace it. It's built upon the Yeshua's korban, his sacrifice for us. Our forgiveness isn't just random. It isn't just because we're contrite. It's because of Yeshua's sacrifice that took our sin. Huge difference. While there's beauty in, but a beauty still in the doctrine of teshuvah, though, and there's some parts, by the way, that I think the emphasis sometimes that should be in Christianity on some of it, but more in a different way. But anyway, verse 4, he says, if you go to the farthest ends of the heavens, it says, b'ketz hashamayim, from there, misham, from there, I'll gather you. I love this. This is so beautiful. Do you know that Hebrew heavens is Shemayim, let's say Shemayim. Go back one slide. Thank you. Shemayim, okay? And now let's go forward. One slide, Marianne, thanks. Okay, there is Sham. Let's say Sham. Same word, really, just different form of it. Interesting. So heavens is there. There's a place. And then this won't be hard to figure, but from the ends of the earth, God says, from the ends of heavens, rather, and then he says, I will gather you. And those two words, you have to go back and forth with the slides there, but the words you see, bakats there, the root there, and then go to the next one, I have them highlighted, and then kavats. Okay, the letters are juxtaposed. All right? So there's a play here. God saying, I reach as far as I need to, and I'll turn everything around. I'll turn everything around in order to restore you. Isn't that great? I think that's, we get that, that meaning is there in the Hebrew, really, in what God has done. He'll reach as far as I need. How far is too far for you? How far is too far? At what point in Jewish history, I've said this before, does God say, it's time to switch people groups? These people are too far gone and for too long. What time in history does that happen? Never. I said this before too, because I found it from notes last year. You knew it, you blew it, so you went through it. Now I'll do it. And I think that worked. So let me finish up with verse 6. Also, Adonai your God will circumcise your heart. Let's say circumcise your heart. Let's say the word moil. Mul is the root here for circumcise. And he says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you may live. That's God's desire, is that we can live. His desire is our best. He always wants our best. My heart needs to be circumcised. And what does that mean? Well, I give you three meanings, I think, what it means. Three things that will sum it up to me. My heart, it means to be uncircumcised is to be stubborn and unteachable. Deuteronomy 10:16. So my heart being circumcised means I'm no longer stubborn and I'm now teachable. It means to humble ourselves and to return to the Lord. Jeremiah 4, verses 4 and 1. To humble myself and return to the Lord. And then thirdly, it means I'm interested in pleasing God and not people. God and not people. Paul said that in Galatians 1:10. He says, if I please men, I can't please God. If I'm concerned more with what people think, then I'm not really pleasing doing what God wants me to do. Doesn't mean we don't... Anyway, there's a difference. But do I love God? Question, do I love God with all my heart? Has my heart been circumcised by him? Am I trying to serve two masters? How long will I waver between two opinions? 1 Kings 18:21. Remember Elijah, prophets of Baal. How long will I waver between two opinions? He said, if the Lord is God, if Baal is God, follow Baal. If the Lord is God, follow him. Don't keep going back and forth. Don't be that way. Love not the world, John says, 1 John 2:15. Do I want to be like a rapper or an artist or a celebrity who's filled with himself or herself rather than God, rather than some noble good things? Or it could be in any field. Is that who I want to be like? Or do I want to be like men and women who've gone before me, who've sacrificed much to follow the Lord and are filled with him? Do I want to be liked by people and thought to be cool? Or do I want to be liked by God and esteemed by him? This is the person I'll look to. He that is humble and contrite of heart and trembles at my word, Isaiah 66, verse 2, God says. Don't I want to be? I know that's your desire, but I'm just challenging you. And there's a part of us, all of us, that wants to be liked by everyone and wants to be thought to be cool or whatever term you want to use. That's, I understand, that's a part of it. But which do I should want more? I've got to make a decision. Lord, I want to please you first. I want more to be in your favor, on your A-list or whatever, I want to be more one that you esteem and say, there's a righteous person. There's someone, not perfect, they fall, they stumble, they struggle like anyone, they struggle too, but they really want, they have, like David, a heart that goes after me. That's what I want, you know? I can only love God like he wants me to, like I was designed to, if I allow him to circumcise my heart. I need a supernatural operation, spiritual surgery, painful but profitable. The Holy Spirit is the enabler, the dunamis of God. So I've got to yield. It's a matter of yielding to him, surrendering, whatever term you want to use. I love this, the end of man. I like to say the end of man is the beginning of God. This is an expression that someone has said. It's the same idea. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. He's the divine Moel. The guy does the circumcision, the one who does the circumcision. Moel is what it comes from. It means to cut, to move in opposition. And I think it's symbolic of God owning my capacity for reproduction. I told this before, this might sound a little disturbing, but there's a sign above a urinal in Israel. It says, "You're holding in your hands the future of the Jewish people." You won't forget this message now. God wants me to live. God wants me to live, not die. He wants me to live and to be able to reproduce for him, to be fruitful. Amen? He wants me to be fruitful. I need the circumcision of my heart in order to love him. I can't love him except he circumcises my heart. And he goes on in Deuteronomy, and I'm going to close, but he goes on and says, don't say I can't do it in verses 11 through 14. Don't say it's too far. I can't. You can't. There's no excuses. Don't live as a victim. Don't blame others. Don't say, it's their fault. He says, you have a choice. Make a choice. Love the Lord. Ahava. Let's say ahava. Let's go to the last one. Ahava. There it is. Ahava. Okay. Love the Lord. That means completely devoted to. Listen to his voice. Let's say Shema. It's really here, Shemoa, but in the form, Shemoa. And then cling to him. Let's say Davka. Or Davka. Davka, right. Davka. Davka. It's cling to him. Lock on to him. Cleave closely to him. He says, do that and you'll be happy. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Thank you for everything.